We go down to Brooklyn, New York, for the final dress rehearsal of Mozart's Magic Flute. The small company behind this production is out to prove that flutes are not the only instruments of magic. Day to Day's Mike Pesca reports.
Those aren't woodwinds. They're not actually being joined by strings. But those are real singers in a real production of the Magic Flute. Right behind the singers are 28 speakers, and a few feet off to the side is a lone keyboard player. The keyboard is attached to a computer where all this music resides, pre-recorded. And attached to that computer is controversy.
It's not a presentation of the art form if it's done with a recording.
Bill Dennison is an official with the American Federation of Musicians Local 802. His union is worried that computerized instruments will take jobs from real musicians. The union's song of protest prompted one opera singer to back out of the Magic Flute a week before the curtain went up. The small, cash-strapped company producing the show, the Opera Company of Brooklyn, also lost two advisory board members because of the union's protests, opera stars Marilyn Horne and Deborah Voigt. The president of the advocacy group Opera America, Mark Skorka, sees the union's point, but he wants to get a better grasp of the computer technology. During intermission of last night's dress rehearsal, he questioned company director Jay Metz.
It is not as if it were borrowed sound from real instruments. It is all synthesized.
Actually, it is all borrowed sound from real instruments. The majority of the sounds were actually Prague Symphony Orchestra, plus they use some musician samplings from here in New York City.
What do you mean by sampling?
The orchestral musicians are paid to play chromatic scales beginning at the lowest part of their register, ascending all the way up to the top. From there, it's the programmer.
And they turn to programmer David Smith, who owns the company which makes the virtual symphony software. Smith says donating the program to a small opera company was part philanthropy, part investment. The musicians' union objects to Smith's dual role as entrepreneur and chairman of the entertainment technology program at City Tech, where the opera is being performed.
We think he's misusing his position at the university.
Local 802's Bill Dennison.
We think what we have here is somebody who's interested in making money, not somebody who's interested in making music.
To which Smith takes umbrage.
I take a little bit of umbrage on the fact that they're saying that this is not musical, because it's very musical. It's just different.
So who's the villain? The opera company being run at a loss, who uses pre-recorded programs but who could never afford to pay musicians anyway? Or the musicians, who feel like they're up against Hal from 2001, but this time he's not only taking over the spaceship, he's the one playing Thus Spake Zarathustra. Tomorrow night, in a 200-seat theater in Brooklyn, opera lovers will find out that the villain is, of course, the Queen of the Night and her attendants, foolish enough to underestimate the powers of the Magic Flute. The only performance is sold out, but they'll probably make a recording. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.
Day to Day is produced by Steve Proffitt and edited by John Buckley. Say hello, John.
Hello, Alex.
Helping John with the editing, Martha Little and Slate's Andy Bowers. Our technical director is Leo Del Aguila. Buenos dias, Leo.
Hello there.
And with engineering from Sean Corey Campbell. The program is directed by Catherine Fox. The production staff includes Luke Burbank, Chip Grabo, Christopher Johnson, Shireen Meraji, Tracy Chang, and Rob Sachs. The executive producer is J.J. Sutherland. The managing editor for NPR News is Barbara Rehm. Our theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Day to Day is a production of NPR News and Slate.com. I'm Alex Chadwick in Los Angeles.